Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got to go to break now, though. Did you combine? Way to go. Now we got a nice long segment here that we want y'all to get in. 713-780-3776.
We can play the sound from Pete Schrager.
Yeah.
On the broadcast. This is what it sounded like. This is what it sounded like with Pete Schrager. You know, Mike Vrabel's like, I'm not going to be with the Patriots on day 3. I'm out. The family's too important. Is he going to a rehab? No, he was just going to go to he's just going to be with his family,
he's getting counseling.
Yeah. So he was going to step away on day 3. And then Pete Schrager. Pete Schrager went on television and reported this.
Documented that Mike Vrabel is not with the team in the war room today. In fact, he is away from the team. However, I've been told from Patriots sources that they are in constant contact with Vrabel throughout the day. Obviously a very unique situation, but if you're just watching and didn't know the news, he is not drafting with the team here on day 3, taking some time away to get some counseling and to be with his family where he is taking the priority. But that responsibility will go on Elliot Wolf, the general manager. Ryan Cowden, who had worked with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, is now over there in New England, and of course the coaching staff. But no Vrabel in the building, but they do have contact via telephone and text.
That's what his Patriot sources inside the building. Somebody goes, dude, you weren't supposed to say that. What are you doing, Schrager? And he came back shortly after that and said, following up on the Vrabel report, it was my understanding that Coach Vrabel was going to be in contact with the staff via phone and text, but I've learned that in the end, both Vrabel and the team ultimately chose not to interrupt him and his family during day 3 of the draft. Yeah, not really.
Well, he got word. What the? Dude, he's... What is wrong with you? Don't say that.
Somebody else did say this. This is the first thing
you
I thought.
You really have to watch what, you know, yeah. People can tell you things in confidence. You really have to watch.
Everything doesn't have to be a broken story. Love that we know his family's more important than day 3 of the draft, but a little less important than the day 1 and day 2. A supporter on Twitter.
So who are they trying to protect? Obviously, they put a story out there that even I didn't believe at the time he would not have contact day 3. So whatever, that's the story. Vrabel's getting help. Who is this supposed to protect? Like, hey, you can't, don't put that out there. Convincing, because the wife would know, right? Even if they're in counseling, she's going to know.
It protects the integrity of the Vrabel statement on day 1 of the draft.
Well, right, why did he even leave if he's still? And what about, yeah, I'm really need to work on myself. That's the most important thing in my life. Except this draft.
Well, you still need to. Yeah, can't you step away and be with the family on Monday or on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't understand. The counselor was taking Sunday off, but we could work on Saturday. I didn't get why he left.
No, it was just strictly PR.
And yet, he was probably on the phone with New England all day.
You didn't notice it was PR. Like, he didn't want to come out and say, I'm not going to be for the draft at all. He could have said that starting immediately.
No,
day 1 and day 2, we got to get some
dudes. No one was begging Vrabel to not be a part of the draft on Saturday. No. Like, you must go to counseling. No one was thinking that at the time.
No, I mean, I think he was like, you know what? I can make a little bit of a watch what I sacrifice here, okay? Not day 1 or 2, but so 3. So yeah. I can
not the top 100 players.
So who's he speaking to? Who's he trying to get a win with? Us? It's not his family. His family's going to know that he's still
and
involved
in the
draft.
And then he was on the phone all day.
Yeah, who's he trying to get a win with?
I have no idea.
Fan base, whatever. Yeah. Schrager blew up the
just
spot.
Just to show how committed he is.
Ah.
He's day 3 committed to his family.
Except, yeah, for the 4th through 7th rounds.
He's day 3 committed to the family.
Yeah, I mean.
Sometimes that's how I feel. I feel that about my family's day three committed to me.
I mean, to
my kids are priority free agent committed to me.
The fan base.
Sebastian's priority committed to his schoolwork now since he's about to graduate.
Oh, no. Like, dude, that's over. No, this whole spring is over.
No effort.
He misread it. The fan base wanted him locked into the draft. They would have been fine if he took Sunday through Monday.
After the draft.
So he's not winning with Twitter. He's not winning with anyone.
You're doing this for Twitter. Your fan base wants you locked in.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah,
you know
they
what?
Forgive you.
We need you to get back locked in on this AJ Brown thing. Okay.
Yeah. What are you waiting? Well, we got to wait till June 1st, I guess, for that.
Yeah.
June 1st. Speaking of waiting, when we come back, we'll get into the Rockets playoffs. So the Rockets are down 3-1.
Combined, right?
Yes, I told.
We're good.
Oh, we're
he
good.
Ignored
okay.
us.
Well, because the headphones don't really work that well.
Okay. That's it.
So the headphones don't work. If the Rockets lost against this team with no Luka, and I don't know why anything would have changed. There's still no Luka, except that there's no Durant, but there's still no Luka. There's still no Austin Reeves, and the Rockets barely avoided, or well, they didn't barely avoid, but they avoided a sweep, and they could still get a soft sweep put on them. And the thought was, he may get fired if they were to lose this series. And everyone kind of universally said, yeah, if you lose to this team with no Luka and no Austin Reeves. Now, obviously some things are, the perception maybe has changed a little based on Durant missing 3 of the 4 games. But and they still lost the one game he played. But, you know, when I look at this, somebody made a point, and I went and looked it up. He did sign an extension in June of last year. He still has 5 years at $11 million left per year after this year. Does Tillman Fertitta strike you as a man who will eat $55 million of salary? Jimbo was $74 million. 55 is an extraordinary amount of money to have to eat.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't believe Ime's going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Are they thrilled? I don't believe.
I wouldn't think so.
That they are thrilled with what has happened this year. No. As a matter of fact, the expectations were through the roof for this team, and it has been nothing but it's been very disappointing. The injuries are a killer, and that's obviously an excuse. No Fred, no Steven Adams, now no Durant. Of course we lost. Well, the way that you lost, Steven Adams is an injury-prone player, an older player, that you had to expect this. Fred VanVleet was just sucked. That the timing and everything else of it just sucked. But they didn't. I don't think they believed in this team. I really don't. I don't think that they. Once Fred went down, they didn't, and they did nothing to change that. They thought, well, we'll be able to Band-Aid this thing. No, you're not. No, you weren't. We've seen this team. This team needed a point guard in the worst way. And you did nothing to help them. So, no. Is this a championship team next year? Okay. Fred's healthy. Steven Adams is healthy. Kevin Durant is healthy. You got what? Alpi, Jabari, Amen, Reed. Is this a championship team?
I mean, it doesn't feel like it against who's out there now.
No. It doesn't. They have to do something. And they probably will do something. And like Stafford, he's pissed off. What? They're going to get older. They want to win. They want to win a title, okay? You only got – Kevin Durant only has so much of a window here, okay? He's going to be 38 years old. $90 million on his contract. 90. So you have a very short window here to win something. You know who wins? Big-name players win. Giannis, if they want to do – what do you give – what is Alpi going to win? Honestly – We see Alpi now, and we see what Alpi is. What is Alpi winning in this league right
well,
now?
Well, not at 20, not the 23-year-old version of him. Maybe 5 years from now when he's in his prime. Like what we traditionally thought of as a prime now that it's changed now with younger players winning all the time.
Is he going to be you believe that? In 5 years, he's a championship player?
I don't know that he'll ever be the best player on the title team, but can Alpi at 28 years old be –
A
top two guy on a title team. I don't know what he'll be like in 5 years. There are some athletic limitations, but I don't want to limit what he'll be in 5 years. Right now, he's like Sabonis level.
Oh.
Like, that's, you're a good player.
Oh, wait. The youngster or the old sir?
Yeah, the young one.
Not the one who could barely move.
The young one who is a good player.
That's actually true.
Not going to be the best player on any real contender. And that's why you go get
Kevin
Durant.
Okay, he's not on this team.
That's what I'm saying.
He's not on this team. Well, is it a championship team?
I said currently, this is a problem. You trade for Kevin Durant because you were bad like 3 out of the last 4 years or so. Or 5 years or so. So you trade for him because you want to get to a point where you can win a title. There's too much of a gap between the 37, 38-year-old and all your 23-year-olds who aren't ready. They're simply not ready. They're not fully cooked as far as a roster. But when you trade for Kevin Durant, you are trying to microwave them into being a title team. And they haven't even won a playoff series yet together. So how do you go from not winning a playoff series to being a title contender when your best – when everyone but Kevin Durant knows nothing about it?
Yeah. I saw a tweet the other day of Peyton Pritchard and is now scoring 20.
Yeah, I saw that.
20-some points. He just had a huge game.
Yeah.
And Ime Udoka wouldn't even play him.
How old is Peyton Pritchard? He was a four-year college. He played in college a long time. He wasn't like a freshman when he came out.
He's 28 right now.
Yeah, so again, I get what you're saying, but Peyton Pritchard blossomed at 27, 28 years old. Right. How old is Reed Sheppard?
24?
Not even.
23?
Maybe Reed 22. No.
Reed Sheppard?
He was a freshman when he came out. He is 21 years old.
He was just a freshman?
Yeah, he was a freshman.
He's 21.
He's 21 years old. So,
oh, my gosh. I didn't realize he was only a freshman.
I get the comps. You want to make – look, Ime suck, Missoula good. I get it. but there are 7 years between these two guys.
Yeah.
Pritchard's been in the NBA a long time. I know people think that's a young player. He's been around quite a while now.
But he wasn't a third overall pick, too, by the way.
Understood, but he is also – developed into a player.
That's
now.
True. That is true. No, it's in fairness. So, I mean, is Reed Sheppard part of a? Okay, if you had who on this team, you don't want to trade Amen. Who on this team is tradable for you to go out and get a Giannis?
Alpi.
And
if
I'm Atari's
a free agent, I mean, it would be Reed Sheppard. It would be Alperen. It would be probably five first-round picks, three first-round picks minimum, but probably more than that, actually. I mean, Alperen doesn't carry as much value as some people think.
No.
He's valuable.
That's what I'm saying. You got to give up more than
that. Yeah, he's valuable, but this Alperen for Giannis is never going to happen. If I'm Milwaukee, I'm like, what? Giannis, you think this is the best we can get for Giannis is Alpi? No. He's a nice little player. We're on a different
Well, but
tier.
You also got to go where Giannis wants to go. It's also got to be a place Giannis wants to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's gonna
I don't even know if he'd want to come to the
Of course he wants
who
to come
says,
here.
Who says he wants to play with Kevin Durant?
Of course he wants to play.
Who says he wants to play with Kevin Durant?
He loves Kevin
Who
Durant.
Says he wants to play for
Everyone
for
loves
Ime.
Kevin Durant, according to Dream Shake. Everyone loves
him. According to one Kevin Durant fan, everyone loves Kevin Durant. His new selling point is he's 37. He's old. Why is everyone yelling at him? He's so old, he can barely play. It's like, the dude makes $50 million. He's like, takes the highest number of shots per game. Like, he's still considered an all-time great, playing at a high level. And now the new thing is, he's just a 37-year-old. This young core, it's their fault.
Well, I think you hit a nail right there. They're not ready to win right now. They're not. Hey, listen.
And he was.
Reed Sheppard.
Turns out he's not the magic bullet.
Either. Reed Sheppard could have been huge in this series.
Well, every time he got
if
in,
he
missed.
Would make a shot.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is basically his first postseason. Yeah. Reed Sheppard is going to be a lot better in the postseason as time goes on.
Yeah.
This is his first real foray into this arena.
And I get the organization not wanting to wait because. You have good young players. You see an opportunity to add Kevin Durant, and maybe you found something. And we all thought they'd be really good, but once the playoffs happen, you have to go through stuff. Now it was a disaster the last 30 seconds of regulation in Game 3. That's a level of going through stuff you don't want to see. But this is part of maturity. It's just the problem for the Rockets is they don't have any 26 and 27-year-olds that you can be like, you know what, we've gone through the wars, we're adding Kevin Durant, now it's time to win. Going into game four, it's been a lot of playoff failure for their young core. And then they finally put it together and closed the Lakers out and ran away with it. But the Warriors series only went seven because another 30-year-old went off in Fred VanVleet. There are no real memorable moments outside of game two from Jalen from that young group. Their first time they came together and got something done was game four.
Yeah.
So how many times does that have to happen before they're ready to win a title?
Yeah. Well, hopefully not three games into a series.
But you need to build. You need to have moments where these guys win games together and then know, okay, this is what it takes to win. That's generally how it goes. They're just in a weird spot where your highest paid player is a dude who's got a couple years left. And the other guys are like, hey, we're trying to get there. But everyone thinks we should already be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking. Did you see this New York Post story?
No.
Mike Vrabel jets to Salt Lake City mid-draft, buys wife apology present.
Oh, I did see that.
And he's looking at this. Sorry about my six-year-long affair. Here's a hoodie.
I saw my husband cheated on me with Diane Rossini. All he got me was this hoodie.
Is this real?
No.
Huh. No.
Well, the story is real.
No,
the story
he did go to Utah. Did. But somebody, Big Poppy, put on there, sorry about my six-year-long affair. Here's a hoodie.
No, but the story's real that he went to New York?
Salt Lake and bought her something, yeah.
Salt Lake?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Salt Lake City?
Is that where you buy clothes for your wife?
I don't know.
Is that where the rehab is?
Oh, that might be where the rehab.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Really? Of all places where you can have multiple wives?
Well, that's one
so
sex.
I'm going to tell you.
Is he trying to learn how to do it better?
All Mormons don't do that.
Oh, no, but some. they're trying to teach him how to do it better?
I don't think that's what he's there for.
You know what? What if? Yeah. I've got something to tell you during the break that I forgot I heard it when I was at the network.
Okay.
It'll change your perspective on us a little bit.
Okay. You know what changed my perspective on the hoops goal?
What?
On the pro dunk goal? Getting one. Changed my whole world. The boy was out there all the time. The kids in the neighborhood were over. Just the best goal. Now, back in the day, we used to have to crank it, to raise and lower it. Now it's just a push of a button. Man, these kids these days, they just got it so much better. Back in the day, we used to have to use a crank. Not anymore. Now, just push a button, and that raises and lowers the goal. It is so much fun for the kids. They love it. I'm telling you. They were out there dunking, and you know where your kids are. They're in your driveway. Do you want – yes, that's where you want your kids, so you know where they are. You know they're having fun. You can put it in the backyard with the fence, or you can keep – we had ours in the driveway right there by the street. It was fine. It was great, and we knew where they were. You know, you bring lemonade out. It's just such a great family thing. It really is. All the kids are going to be there, and they're going to love that goal. And you are going to be a hero in your neighborhood, Dad. But you got to do it, okay? So ProDunk.com, the installation is incredible. That thing ain't going nowhere ever. Trust me. It's the best. It'll last for, I'm not going to say forever, but it'll last forever. Basically forever, because that thing doesn't rust. The goal is perfect. Everything about it, it's the best. So you're looking for the best way for your kids to enjoy hoops. ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com. Tell Kate Tate you heard it right here.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 973-780-3776. If you want to get in here, come on. 713-780-3776. Let's play D'Amico talking about Caden McDonald. boy. To get those two guys, positions of need, to get guys who are first Rutledge and then McDonald sitting there, and you have that huge need of being able to stop the run, to clog the middle, and an All-American is sitting there.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's unbelievable.
That it really is.
But I mean, but it's actually the actual value for a smaller snap nose tackle who doesn't rush, that's actually the value. It's not in the first round. So he fell to the round where you're supposed to go. It's just the Texans. Nick Caserio said this is our guy.
However, in a weaker draft, you would, you know what?
Well, you would think that there's, but the first round really didn't like, other than guard, which was also a Texans play. Other than guard, I mean, they could have flipped it and gone Cade McDonald 28, and then tried to go Rutledge, see if they could trade up ahead of the Raiders and go Rutledge. It's just Rutledge was kind of a. There's four big time guards, and Emmanuel Pregnon fell to the third or fourth round, so he really wasn't in the mix like we thought. It was really just Chase Basantis, and Vanga Ioane was drafted by the Ravens at 14. So it was really Chase Basantis and Keelan Rutledge. That's all two guards for four teams that needed guards. So that's the dangerous thing, is that you run the risk of somebody saying, there's only so many guards in this draft. We want to get one of the best ones. And certainly one of the toughest ones. So Texans decided to go him first and then trade up for McDonald. They could have done the other way. They could have gone McDonald and traded up. I don't see any difference.
What's the
I don't
difference?
Care.
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I just like that you got those two players. Yep. I didn't love most of the draft after that. I liked Ramsey from USC. Aiden Fisher, I think, is a throwaway pick with the seventh pick. Wade Woodhouse, I like fine. Backup linebacker who can play special teams. I like that one. The center guard from Oklahoma, I'm not as high on him as, but there are other teams in the league that like them like the Texans do, so I might be wrong on that one. But like Lewis Bond in the sixth, I don't see how he even uncovers in the NFL, gets open.
Well, you're taking a flyer.
Yeah, I just don't know why it's on him to have any explosive traits. Like why...
Who was left?
Have special teams value.
Well, who's
somebody
left?
With special teams value.
Yeah.
Somebody with traits who's got really fast or explosive or long-limbed or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just me. Just philosophically, I don't understand drafting a guy who doesn't have teams value and he runs good routes. He's just not explosive. Like, he just doesn't uncover very well. So.
Well.
But it's a six, so I'm nitpicking a little bit just because I watch all these guys. I just felt like I could go in the sixth round and find somebody I would have liked better, but that's neither here nor there, and it doesn't mean I'll be right. But I thought the draft, I loved the first two picks. After that, I found some value with the fourth round pick. I found some value with the fifth round pick, and then the rest of it for me was just kind of average. Like Marlon Klein, the Texans love. They love him. We'll see. He's the tight end from Michigan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
I will say he's getting – he's still learning football. Like he's kind of a late comer to football. So
yeah.
We'll see. And I was reading my notes on him. You know, he'll block a little bit. Like he's a Y. He's a combination tight end. So yeah. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong on him and he is a big hit early on. Hopefully.
Well, one thing for sure, they love Cade McDonald. Cade McDonald was thrilled to be a Texan. I mean, he couldn't stop. I mean, we can't play him and his nephew.
Yes, we can. No, watch. It's not gonna
It made me cry. Okay.
What are your thumbs down in it for?
Why are your thumbs down?
I'm Commodus from Gladiator.
you don't want to play it? No,
I don't want to make people cry.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm against crying. I'm against crying. I'm against football.
We don't cry.
Yeah. I love to watch you play football.
Yeah, but you don't have a heart, so that's why.
What?
Him.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't care about other people.
No, he doesn't. If that didn't affect you, then you just don't even have a heart. Okay.
I thought it was going to be way worse than that. Yeah. He says, at first it does.
I love you.
At first it does. But his mom had to tell him to say I love. That's when it ruined it for me. Yeah. Had he said it himself, his mom said, tell him you can't wait to watch him play. I can't wait to watch you play. Tell him you love him. Yeah. I love you. Like, oh, this is scripted.
No, it wasn't scripted. She was just prompter. That's all. She was just teleprompter. But here's D'Amico. He loves him some Cade McDonald, too.
Caden is a great football player, and for me, you know, we've had success with smaller defensive linemen. That doesn't necessarily mean that was what we were looking for all the time. Like I've worked with some really good coaches who were able to get the best out of players and the traits that they possess. Those smaller guys, explosive traits, they were able to knock back, and we've seen where you start to lose some in the run game. So you get a guy like Caden, who's not only just a big body, but he is an explosive guy. He has the twitch, he has the explosiveness, and he's stout versus the run. Like, that's a bona fide defensive tackle that's going to impact our defense in a major way.
Yeah, so that was almost like he's speaking directly to me. He talked about we don't. Yeah, we've had success with smaller guys, but he's basically saying it's not intentional. Because I always wondered, does he even fit D'Amico's style? Because mm-hmm. D'Amico's had more upfield guys. I haven't seen this style of player in D'Amico's defense. And what D'Amico just said was, no, we were never opposed to it. It's just these are the guys we had, and our coaches worked with who we had. So he kind of answered a question I always had was, is D'Amico fundamentally against he's got a little extra meat on him, a little extra fat on him, Caden, like a lot of interior defensive players. And D'Amico always, when you go back to some of the players he had at San Francisco, the players in Houston, they're a little bit leaner, like a little bit more. I don't know about great. You know, if it's necessarily high lean muscle mass numbers, but they've been leaner. They're a little more trim for big players. But apparently. What D'Amico just tell you is, hey, we want to get better against the run. And honestly, in my opinion, this was one of the big things that was missing. How do you stop the run a little bit better? That Tampa Bay game, Tampa was gashing you on the ground. If you remember, they were gashing you on the ground, and I was like, oh my god, is this going to be a problem all year?
How many yards did Baker have though?
No, it wasn't. It was they were getting it with their running backs. They were hitting you with the run game. And they were running when you knew they were going to run, and they still ran successfully, which was a problem. Now, it didn't really manifest itself much after that. I thought it might be a problem the rest of the year, and it really wasn't. But it is something that if you want to say, okay, what can this amazing defense do now to make themselves better? My answer was become better up the middle, stop the run. Ta-da! They just did it.
Yep.
They got the best run defender, defensive tackle in the entire draft, so... They just did it. They added some depth and special teams value at linebacker. They added another member of the secondary. Like, they're provided they stay healthy, they're keyed up to be the best defense in the league again. You know, pretty exciting headed into the season.
Yeah, and the best offense.
Well, less CJ, more running game. I think it's a good thing for everybody, including CJ. I think it makes CJ, takes pressure off CJ just to, you know, make play action throws. He won't be so far behind the sticks on second or third down. This could be the year, boys.
This is it.
This could be the year.
I'm telling you, this is the year.
Could be the year.
I mean, this defense is going
Super Bowl to, for the Texans.
Is going to be the best defense in the league.
Could be the move.
And it is, and the offense is going to be much better. I'm telling you, this is a 14-win team.
Could be the move.
14 or 15 now. That's right, Dell.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why are you looking at me? The guy in there is a little skeptical of what you just said.
No, I'm not.
You made a face.
Because 14 was low, honestly.
Low?
Low. That's what he said.
I said could be the move.
That's what he said. Okay.
Don't
Here
do this.
Here he comes again. Here he comes with that noise.
I don't know if you want to do this.
You can do it, John.
Okay.
You can do it.
All right.
I don't know about one of the best offenses in the league. I'll just say one of the best running games in the league.
You know what? While I won't agree completely with Jim with what he said when he called Caserio a liar, I will say there's a lack of juice on offense that wasn't really addressed, and maybe they decided they had more important things to address. There's not a lot of juice on the offensive side of the ball. Dave Montgomery, cool. He can run the ball hard. Woody Marks, run the ball hard. Ain't a lot of touchdown makers on that side of the
bullies,
ball.
Bullies, just bullies and jackhammers. That's all we're doing.
Sure.
That's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. Jackhammer football. Stop this. We're about to gain 3 yards. Stop this. Stop these three yards.
Yeah, try to stop us.
That's not the way you win football games.
Yeah, it's the way we run football games, Dell. Not turning it over.
He's a liar.
He's not. Don't cut that.
Why did you?
Because
he was laughing in there when he
came out of nowhere. It's so funny.
He's a liar.
Nick Caserio said, best player available. He's a liar. That's what he said.
So they got the AFC North with three crappy teams.
Uh-huh.
They have the NFC East with three crappy teams.
Mm, crappy, yeah. Strong, okay. Average teams.
I could have thought about some better.
Average, above average.
But that's fine.
Yeah, it would be better to play the
NFC
South.
We had the South last year. Well,
yep.
It's one of the reasons.
Can't have them every year.
One of the reasons we made the playoffs last year.
Can't have them every year.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to get off to an 0-3 start. They're going to be and not be playing catch up the whole year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this schedule, honestly, I don't see
you don't
three
see
losses.
A loss. You don't see three losses.
I don't see three losses. Well, let's not forget they're not playing a first place schedule this year.
That's true.
They've got the Chargers.
And, they own.
And, of course, they have the Bills.
Well, yeah, of course.
They have the Bills every year.
Is that at home? Oh, we haven't decided,
it's
right?
No, it's at home.
Oh, so another home game against the Bills.
Another home game.
How do you know it's at home?
It's already out who they play home and road.
It is?
Just not when.
But not when.
Josh Allen's going to skip that game. Like when Durant skipped the Golden State game earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen's
personal reasons.
Got personal reasons. Like Durant skipped the Golden State for personal reasons.
He sucked at NRG.
Josh Allen's going to have to skip that for personal reasons.
It's not. It won't be NRG. It'll be a Reliant, which was, so will that change things?
Same house of horrors.
Yeah.
Same house of horrors.
You know, they've taken off the sign.
Yeah.
Because the World Cup is, they've now taken off the sign.
World Cup won't let you have any signage.
Unless you are official sponsor.
Right.
You can't even have it on the stadium.
FIFA is the boss
outside.
Of everyone.
Yeah.
It's amazing how powerful FIFA's bullying the NFL.
At least the owners of those stadiums.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll do what you say, sir.
Yeah. I don't see three losses in this whole schedule, but that's just me.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. No. Yeah, see?
About 14 wins is too low.
See? How about that, Del?
Boys, this is the Super Bowl run. This
Them
is
boys.
The Super Bowl shot.
Yep.
You probably won't have things work out exactly perfectly for you this year like you did last year. That's just going to make it that much sweeter.
Yep. Them boys on Kirby. Watch it.
Them boys on Kirby are going to be unstoppable.
713-780-3776. We're at the halfway point. Come on in.
Unstoppable.
713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. So, you found this audio. You found this video.
Yeah. So I watched this way back in the day. We used to, when I was living in Austin for a little bit with Chris and Michael and Will. We would watch a ton of boxing, Tuesday night fights, the great Sean O'Grady and one of the Alberts. We'd watch Al Bernstein and Barry whatever. And then we'd watch the West Coast basketball. You hope to catch UNLV running Rebs. You'd hope to catch him. We just watch all kinds of TV, right? Play video games, eat, drink, do stuff like that. And then I guess they were going to school. This wasn't one of my business. I was just sitting on the couch just doing my thing. So every once in a while we'd run into these little, and we were constantly recording stuff on tape, like VHS, so we could watch it back once we got super drunk. And they had this documentary on Babe Ruth. And over the years we've done the show, I've told you about this before, where they had, you know, some of my 1930s voice ref, and say here, kids, look here, where am I, you know, the rice
other news.
And other news, we're going to do. So there was a voice that people used to have in the 30s.
Yeah.
And about that time. And this documentary, Babe Ruth, they talked about. And then in 1934, Babe Ruth was, you know, traded or whatever to the Red Sox, I think. I don't know where he went.
From the Red Sox to the Yankees.
Well, he went originally. And then where did he go from the – yeah, I know that. But where did he go in 34?
Oh, in 34? Oh.
I don't even remember.
Did he go where back to the Red Sox?
Maybe so.
Maybe.
And so in this documentary, they say, and the Yankee fans are, you know, and some Yankee fans are taking it hard while other Yankee fans, you know, want to move on. And, yeah, Boston. So the last year, 1935, when he was 40 years old, he played for Boston. So he played from age 25 to age 39, 14 years with New York Yankees. So keep this in mind. So this man on the street in the 1930s is interviewing these little kids. The little kids are outside, and they look just like little rascals. You know, they got the wool suits on with hats. And I'll show you the video so you can see it. But listen to these 1930s little kid voices and think how awesome it would be if we could have kids who talk like this again.
On the streets of New York, the kids spoke out.
I'm sorry the Yanks lost him, and I wish that he'd come back to the Yankees.
Babe Ruth decides to break like that, and I think he'll make good in Boston, because he's been such a great character, and I think he'll suck plenty over in Boston. Yeah, I wish he was still with the Yankees. He wants to autograph the baseball for me. Well, I hope my old man moves up to Boston so I can see him play.
Wait, what?
Pause. I hope my old man moves up to Boston so I can see him play. I think he's going to sock plenty of homers over there.
Listen to some of the old phrases they use. Oh. Right, search it back just a little bit.
That is hilarious.
Here. No, we're not done. Here, it gets even better.
I hope my old man moves up to Boston. Boston.
On the streets of New York, where kids spoke out.
Listen to some of the old-time phrases. Go ahead.
I like about Babe Ruth. He's a nice man. And I like about him because he's a nice baseball player.
What do you say, Tony?
I feel very, very bad. My baby will go to Boston.
I have faced plenty of long enough. We want somebody else.
I've seen Babe long enough. We want somebody else.
So they saved the last one. He's like, out of here. I'm tired.
Beat it, babe.
I think he's going to suck plenty of home runs. My old man wants to see him.
I love Babe.
I feel very bad for Babe. Well, he's going to, you know, but I hope.
He's giving him the old okey doke.
Yeah. I hope they give him the 1-2 skidoo up there in Boston.
These little kids are hilarious to me. Somebody said, how about I pop you in the kisser? It is somebody could have said, how about I pop you in the kisser?
It sounds like my dad, if you want to know the truth. That's what it sounds like.
They are the little scallions.
Los Angeles Lakers star Austin Reeves is optimistic to return to action in Game 5 against the Houston Rockets on Wednesday night.
That was no surprise.
After missing about 4 weeks with a grade 2 oblique strain.
Why risk it? He needs to stay out. Yeah. He could re-aggravate.
This was no surprise.
No.
He could re-aggravate.
Yeah, he might have played Game 4 if they had lost Game 3.
So Austin Reeves will play as many games as Kevin Durant in the series?
If it goes the way we want, probably more.
Well, it's just so easy for Kevin to bruise his tiny little bones.
Hey.
He bruised a knee bone. He bruised an ankle bone. His bones
are bruising. Did you see the ankle injury? Did you see the actual injury?
Gruesome and horrific.
Well, did you see the bend? I'm not even dream shake here. And I'll say.
Yeah, tape it up.
That ankle nearly touched the floor. That's how bad the foot turned.
Tape it up.
No, well, it doesn't matter if you tape it up if you can't
move. Are you questioning whether or not he has the heart to play?
Yes.
Is that what you're questioning?
Yes. Based off of what?
Get a shot.
Why are you questioning
it? Based off the history of athletic performance in every sport.
He tried to come back early and ripped his Achilles.
I'm telling you, Kevin, we want someone else.
He tried. Didn't he lose his Achilles because he tried to come back early from an injury?
I was sad to see him get traded to Milwaukee, but I was happy
Giannis came over. You're not giving Giannis for Kevin Durant.
Boo, we want someone else. He's made out of brittle little paper.
You were waiting for this moment.
I was hoping it would never come. This is the moment I feared.
He got
hurt.
And
then I'm like, all right,
Edwards got hurt.
He got hurt.
It happens.
I even said I was wrong. And then it turns out I was right.
Dante got hurt. Anthony Edwards gets hurt. He got hurt. Everyone gets hurt.
Hey, what about his? I don't care.
That's not what about his.
It is what about
his. Is it? Because it actually happened.
Shake. What about LeBron? What about that?
It's not what about ism.
Yeah.
Because it actually happened. And stars get hurt all the time.
They don't play for me.
Well, stars get hurt all the time.
If you're a guy that gets hurt and have burner accounts,
Looks
even worse.
It's less to do with the injury and all the other stuff.
I said it Monday. No. He's not available. He's not playing through any kind of injury. That's my problem.
He tried and he can't go.
He can't go, babe. We want somebody else. Boom.
Would you rather have him suck in game 4 and not be?
Yes.
Why? You won the game.
I would rather Kevin Durant be on the field on the court.
He can't move.
You won the game.
Oh my God.
And by the way, he didn't lose.
The most brittle star in the history.
He played 78 games this year.
By the way, they would have won game 3. The two games he missed, the Rockets should have won, by the way.
Yeah.
They should have won game 3. They without him. So it didn't affect how the game went until, you know, they screwed up with at the very end.
Well, it would have.
He's turned the ball
even
over.
When he played, when he played not being good in game two, they sucked.
Don't care. He's the best player on the team. Go out there and sit in the corner and be a decoy.
Oh, my God.
Show me some effort to actually, try to get back.
Wait a minute. He is showing effort to try to get back.
He warmed up
because
before game
told
three.
You that?
No.
What do you want? To go out there?
I want to see you play.
And limp and then get pulled out performatively? That's what you want?
Take your shots.
I suppose you wanted Chris Paul to play on his bum leg, too.
No, that guy had a ripped hamstring up.
Okay.
Bone bruise. No, I'm pissed off.
A bone bruise and an ankle.
That this guy who's injury prone gets injured in the playoffs. The one time I waited for him all year, I'm giving you a whole ass pass, the whole team until the playoffs. Because, like, well, you got Kevin Durant for the playoffs. Let's see what happens. You should breeze past the Lakers. And then let's see what they do against Oklahoma City. And now his ass is injured. Two injuries.
What you're looking
two
for.
Two practice injuries.
No, it wasn't
one was
a practice
game. Second
injury.
Was a game. One was a practice injury. Two injuries in the same series.
So what you're looking for is for him to fake.
You wanted him to go. You didn't want him to go hard in practice, apparently. Apparently, you didn't want
him. No, what
to
he
go.
Wants is for him to limp out there, prove that he can't go, and then get pulled off the court. He wants a performative thing where it's clear he's not ready to go.
I want him to do
if
whatever
he, can't go,
he can to get on the court.
And
I,
that's what they said he did.
Shoot
and he still
up.
Couldn't get out
shots,
there.
Shots. Mm-hmm. Shots. Tape and shots. Take pills. What would Brett Favre do? Eat a bunch of Vicodin?
Yeah, and that's gone well for Brett Favre afterwards.
Yeah.
But you know what? He made it out on the field.
Yeah, then
and then he'll
remember
send
that time
pictures
he said
to girls. That's what you want?
And he'll rob the state of his birth.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
I didn't
for.
Ask him to do everything.
Well,
just
you're
get
talking
out
about.
Court.
Go back to Maryland and steal all
the
their housing money.
You mentioned Brett. Is that what you want from Kevin Durant?
I don't want
to rob the state of Maryland.
Not that part. Not that part. And not the Jim Sturger part.
Yeah.
Just the part where, you know, he eats a bunch of painkillers.
And plays.
Yeah. Eats painkillers and plays.
One leads
not
to the other.
Sending pictures. KD is no problem off the court. I got no problem with KD, the off the court guy. You can smoke out all you want. I don't care. What do I care? But I do want you to, you know, play in the playoffs.
That's what you want.
If we traded Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks, and there's all this drama because you're bad-mouthing your teammates.
Allegedly.
And all that, the least you could do is play in the playoffs.
He did. He played game two.
He played. He tried, dude. You feel? Wait, you don't think he's making a big enough effort.
Hold on. Did you think he was limping around in game two? He looked fine to me in game
two. And then
two.
He got hurt again.
But did you think he looked super injured in game
no,
two?
No.
He looked normal, didn't he?
Yeah.
I After guess. The bone bruise that almost ended his life in game one?
He had a bum knee. Okay.
He went out there, tried, and turned his ankle.
Also
in game
happened
three.
To coincide with Jabari saying he's got to do a better job of defeating double teams.
Oh, if you think
did
that's
you not,
why he didn't play.
Did you? Did
no.
we talk about it after he said that?
Yes.
Like, we were like, ooh.
Oh, it
Kevin,
was a. I was joking.
You
better watch
be
out.
No, you weren't joking. You know Kevin's petty like that.
Well, you know what? Probably it contributed to him not being on the bench that game. Okay.
But he would have played if
he
could
he would have
played.
Yeah.
He loves ball. We know he loves ball.
I'm not sure.
I think he does love ball, 100%.
Yes, he loves ball.
I think he loves ball.
He loves two things.
He loves two things.
And ball's one of them.
Ball's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that he wants to hang out with anybody? No.
Well, you don't want to hang out with 20-year-olds either.
Do I think that he wants to be told what to do? No. Do I think he wants to be a leader or a mentor? Not really. No. He'll tell you that. He's like, I'm not a leader. Don't ask me to lead your team. Like, yeah, but we kind of need a leader.
Yeah, you knew what you're getting into when you traded for him.
Yeah, no, it's true. You really did. He said it out loud. I don't lead. I don't do all this stuff. Like,
he told you who he is.
Yeah, he told you. I'm a gun for hire is what I am. And I was, you know, you didn't have to give up as much for him, presumably, as you did for Giannis. But the Giannis thing was there's a longer shelf life with Giannis. He has a bigger impact in more categories. And you took your shot, and it's just going to be a miserable failure. No problem.
Well, you're one.
You got.
Well, I'll lead to.
You got him for another 90 million more.
You got him for several more years.
What are you worried about?
Can you imagine? We've already got people making excuses for him because he's 37. All he's doing is getting older. Can you imagine excuses now?
He played 78 games. He played third most minutes.
He shouldn't be expected to do anything at age 39. Think about when he's 39 and he's still playing.
He played the third most minutes in the league.
Well, I know, and that was dumb.
Yeah.
That was dumb. Ime Udoka should have never done that. I don't think that, you know, that's not a soft tissue injury. That's a bone bruise. I guess he had double bone bruise.
Little did Ime know that he needed all of those minutes.
I'm just super. This is me. I'm just super pissed off. This is an exciting year, and it didn't go the way I thought or the way that other Rockets fans thought. They won the same amount of games, but didn't feel like it.
No.
Like last year was they overshot expectations. This year they undershot expectations. And now the one guy, the one move you make to make everything right, not only do you have guys out for the year, and Fred VanVleet, whatever, you know about him for a long time. Steven Adams, it's just how the game goes. And it's not like he hasn't had injuries here recently. But Kevin Durant, the one thing you got him for is to win in the playoffs. And then you have Luka out and Austin Reeves out. And your guy goes down 3 of 4 and now probably 4 of 5. That's super frustrating. I can't be the only one that's really pissed off about this.
No. Well, no. I mean,
you're supposed to roll right through them.
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
If you're going to get your ass pumped.
They weren't rolling right through them with Kevin Durant or without Kevin Durant. We saw that in game two.
No, that's true.
I mean.
Hey, and that goes to LeBron and the Lakers. Just showed a lot of heart. They're out there.
It goes to Luke Kennard. Huh. And Marcus Smart.
Well, I mean,
LeBron has sucked these last two games.
LeBron had 8 assists in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron has not played well.
They were iffy.
Nah, you're just anti-LeBron.
They were. You throw it to him on the wing. Dude would make 12 moves. Oh, LeBron gets an assist because he gave it to him seven seconds ago.
LeBron is going to beat a team with no Luka and no Austin Reeves. And maybe they get Austin Reeves for one. And that's going to go down in his category as an upset. They were plus 550 in this series.
He did turn the ball over a lot in game three.
Yeah, he said 16 turnovers last two games.
He's also 29-13-6 in game three.
But I did see that one sweet assist James had where he threw the ball in between two guys, bounce pass, and it was an assist. We don't have James. Oh, my God.
Have you seen James's turnover numbers in the playoffs? Yeah. Take a look at his turnovers to assists. He's starting to go sweet James on everybody.
We'll wait till it's
numbers.
Till it's a must-win game.
I was going to talk about it yesterday, and we never got to it because I had to rush through this crazy new rental car process in L.A. But go look at his assisted turnovers. Mm. It is terrible.
All right. 713-780-3776. You know what's wonderful? East River 9. We go there whenever there's a big golf tournament, and we're going back again. And I'm telling you here and now, it's the place for you to go to get your listen, you want to have a corporate membership? You want your employees to enjoy a nice night of golf? Yes. You don't want to play in during the day. You want to take guests out. You want to take clients out. You want them to spend time with your people. You want your people to be able to entertain them with the bar and restaurant right there. Great sports bar for you to watch your games. It's a great place for you to have your clients captivated for an hour and a half as opposed to a 4-hour round of golf. Your clients can't do it. They got businesses. So you can go at night. Because it's open at night. Okay, so listen, you're looking for a great way for you to do business. Corporate memberships available at East River 9. Or just go out and have fun. Beautiful view of the city. I think the best view that we have of downtown is right there at East River 9. You got pickleball courts as well. You got the pro shop. You got the driving range. And you got a great bar and restaurant where you can watch all your games. East River, the number 9.com. EastRiver9.com.